Anybody else got anything? Amen.
Home.
else with anything. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Hey, praise God.
Brother, come on.
Well, we got so much to thank him for.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I tell you, we've been sitting here fellowshipping tonight, and I've just had such a good day in the Lord. And I tell you, I can honestly say that I look so forward to my Sundays, and honestly, this is one of the worst parts because I know that we have to depart, and we got to go back to work next week and do all those things, but one day... I'm stuck in his flesh, and
yes.
I'm going to start this off by saying I pray that this lands. I'm just going to have to take faith that the Lord's going to take it how it's intended and that nobody is offended by it. And you'll know what I mean when I get there. That it's not. I truly intend on helping people and not offend them. But 1 Timothy chapter number 4, we'll start reading in verse number 1. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, right, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Right. Nourish up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Sorry about that. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all
That's
things,
right,
having promise of the life that now is, and in that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception." I'll go ahead and pray now. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the songs of Zion that we've heard here tonight, Lord. And I thank you for little Miss Ellions playing that song, "Nothing But the Blood," Lord. I'm thankful, Lord, that it doesn't take stature, that it doesn't take riches, Lord. Lord, that it doesn't take fame or any of those things, Lord. It's just my faith in the blood and what that work that you did on Calvary. Lord, I ask you here tonight, Lord, to help me, Lord, as I try to submit this body, Lord, as a willing sacrifice to your service, Lord. I ask you to help me, Lord, to not stumble to the left or to the right, Lord, but to help me to preach as you'd have me to preach. Not say anything dumb or foolish nor out of the way, but just the things that you would have me to say. I ask these things in your precious Son, Christ's name. Amen. So my thought in this whole scripture is probably coming out of the part where it says that bodily exercise profiteth little. And so what made me think of this is a lot of times you'll go to Walmart or somewhere, you go out somewhere and I see people all the time. They're wearing clothes of exercise, and a lot of times you'll see them, but you never see them in the gym. You see people at work all the time. They like to wear football uniforms, and they like to talk about football.
Yeah.
They like to do all these things, but you never see them there.
Yeah.
You know, there's something wrong there. And that began to make me think about, you know, every year people no doubt, and I've heard it preached even this year already, that people will make, they'll make professions that they're turning over a new leaf. This year, Lord, I'm going to get in shape.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop eating those bad things. And it just never works. It never works. And so what we have here, I started thinking about, you know, what we need to do to get in shape for the Lord. This is the part that I was talking about that I was afraid of offending people. I'm not talking about your physical part. I'm talking about spiritual. We're trying to use a physical thing to represent something that's spiritual. And so the first thing that you have to do if you're wanting to get in shape is, number one, you got to admit you have a problem.
Right. Yeah.
All right. The other day I was down at the at the Chinese restaurant, and Brother Kevin told me, he said, you know, there's a limit on how many cookies you're supposed to have. The reason that he said that is because I had 5 cookies on my tray. Yeah. Now, to be honest with you, like a true Baptist, I went back today and I had 5 more cookies, brother. I'm just going to be honest with you. But my point is at some point in time, you have to admit you have a problem. I've said it before when I preach that you have to know that you're lost before you can get saved.
That's right.
But the Lord's not just going to come. Man, me and Josh, we hear this stuff all the time. He was talking about it the other day. We go out visiting. Some of the nonsense that people tell us, lightning bolts, I was there for that one. Guy was talking about he knelt down to pray and there was lightning bolts. And I was thinking to myself, there was lightning striking and you was just kneeling there praying? I would have ran. You know, but he was going on. That was how he got saved. Lightning was striking and he was getting saved. So I was like, well, now I'm doubting my salvation. None of that happened when I got saved. All I remember doing is kneeling down and praying, but whatever. And so anyway, you have to come to the point. Thank you, brother. You have to come to the point where you know you got a problem.
It's
that way when you exercise. A lot of people will get into these exercise regimens and they see no results. And the reason that they see no results is because they've not changed their actions. There's been no change there. I hope y'all see where I'm going with this. There has to be a change. There has to be a change in who you are.
Right.
Is what has to happen. You have these bad habits. I have these bad habits of going down to the Chinese restaurant and eating a bunch of junk food. So if I want to get into shape, you know, I can go to the gym all I want.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to cut out some of the bad habits.
You're right.
Yeah. There's going to have to be a change in my pattern. And it's not going to happen by miracle. Now, if you go out here, the world has a thing they're going to offer you. They're going to say, hey, take this pill, you'll lose 30 pounds in a month. You know, well, we got that in religion, too. We got that. Hey, come up here. Read this card, Brother Kevin. You shall be saved if you read this card. That's all you
got. Oh, yeah.
Let's read it. Repeat after me. You'll be saved. Folks, it won't work because your heart ain't in it. The reason your diets don't work is because your heart ain't in it. You don't want to change. You've got to want it. The Lord's not going to come down and strike you down and force you to be saved. That's not how this thing works. Folks, so you have to get to the point that I have a problem.
Sure.
That I am lost. And without Him, I am going to hell. And so once you realize that, then there's another action that has to take place. You have to take action upon what is done there. Now, I'm not talking about work salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. But there is a part on your side. When you sit here in the pew and the Lord comes and witnesses to you and says, hey, without me, you're going to hell.
You're
if you don't respond to that, that is a response.
That's right.
That's a rejection. You see, the Bible says that the Lord stands at the door and He knocks. You notice it doesn't say He kicks the door down.
Right.
It says that He stands at the door and knocks.
Yep.
And any that opens to Him, you have to open that door. The manna that came down that Christ preached about, He said He was that manna that came down. You'll notice that there was no men laying on the ground with their mouth open and the manna falling into their mouth.
That's right.
They had to go out and pick that manna up off of the ground and eat it.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of people who will take that out of context and say, you're talking about works. No, I'm saying that is your part. You have to receive it. The work has already been done.
Yeah.
Christ said, it is finished.
Hey.
That's what He said. There is no more work to do. All you have to do is accept it. At the end time, what's going to happen is God is so holy. He is so holy that He has to persecute unrighteousness, ungodliness. He has to. It's in His very nature of who He is.
Yep.
He can't come up to Brother Kevin and say, Brother Kevin, It's okay that you did that. If you read in the Bible, one of the things that's got me on this here lately, I tried preaching it at the youth thing and I just couldn't get it out, but I've been reading this book on holiness and it pointed something out to me. It was just one of them things that was very obvious that I'd never thought about. The Bible says, for you to be holy. Notice what it says. It does not say try to be holy.
Right.
It does not say do your best on Sunday to be holy. That's not what it says.
Go ahead.
And now if you go, people will say, well, that was in Leviticus. I'm sorry, but if you flip over to 1 Peter, it's there too. He repeats that same phrase. And so you say, well, he's given me a goal that I can't accomplish. God knows that. He has a verse for that one too. It says, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But I want to point out another thing, and this is what got me studying on it, is I was reading that book, and the way the guy quoted it, he said that men were carried away by their own lust, by their own sin. And when I read that, man, immediately the Holy Spirit hit me, something's wrong. That ain't right. So I flipped open my book and he had misquoted it.
Yep.
The Bible says that we are led away by our own lust.
Yep.
We're led away, not carried. Folks, if you're carried away, that means you had no option. Yep. Brother Kevin was preaching this morning on Eve and her and that apple. You'll notice what the devil didn't do. He didn't take that. I said apple. I don't know why people say that. But that fruit, he didn't shove it in her mouth. What did he do? He said, hey, you see this fruit? Boy, it looks good, don't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
it's
right.
Nice. Yeah. And then, what did she do? She misquoted God. And
that's
at that point,
right.
He knew he had her. And I'm shaking so bad, I'm going to spill that. And he knew at the moment that she misquoted the Lord. She said that God said that she shouldn't touch it. That's not what he said. And there's a whole other thing that I'll try not to chase the rabbit on. She added to the word of God.
Yep.
That's what she did right
yep.
there. She should never have done that. God, all God told her, you can look at it, you can do whatever you want, but do not eat of that fruit.
Right.
And so what did she do? What, if you decipher, if you read through that, truly what happened, the way that she fell into sin had nothing to do with fruit. It was disobedience through unbelief.
She did
not believe. What did the devil tell her after she misquoted? He said, you shall not surely die. He started planting that seed of doubt. And when people take this word and they start changing little phrases and saying, well, the better translations, ain't that what they normally say? The better translations, it says, it probably says that you're carried away. Folks, if you're carried away, you had no option. You sin when you chase your own lust. It comes from the inside. That's what Christ was trying to tell people, is that it's not what goes into your body that defiles you. And that's where I want to get to here tonight, is it's not what goes into us, it's what comes out. And if all you have is an angry and bitter heart, there's a problem. And I'm not saying that we don't have a bad day. I'm sure Brother Doug gets pretty busy over there. He's talking a story about a guy being, you know, pretty ruthless with how he is yakking up his truck and stuff. I understand that. Now, we should always conduct ourselves in a godly manner.
Yeah.
But we all fail and we come short of the glory of God.
Right.
That's what the Bible teaches us. And so, I'm going to try to move on, so I'll stop rambling here if I can find my place. And so, one other example I wanted to bring here before I move on is I was studying after Brother Kevin said something the other night and was talking about being almost there. And I got home and for some reason it dawned on me. I think it was when he was talking about how if he ever come up into the pulpit with a Mountain Dew, he said, or a cup of coffee. And I always like to pick on him when he says something like that because, as everybody knows, I like my coffee. But he said that and he said, if I ever do that, you know, get help. I've gone crazy. I've lost my mind, I think is what he said. So I started looking it up. I thought, well, coffee is mostly water. And I looked it up and it said that coffee is 98% water.
Sure.
98%. But what do we call it? We call it coffee.
That's
it's
right.
Water is known by that 2% of what it is. And I think Mountain Dew and stuff's like 80% water. But my point is that the impurities is how we know it by. And so I want to continue on in this thought about having a healthy spiritual life. And so once we know we have a problem, you know, we have to confess that we have that problem.
Yes. Right.
And then we also to confess it, we also have to know the solution. Right. What is the solution? You know, this world, it has a solution for you. Pills and all that makes you grow a third liver and do all these other kind of weird things it does to you. You lost 80 pounds, but now you have cancer, but here you go. You know, so that's just the way that stuff is. They have a thing that they offer, but then we have this book that tells you a holy way of living. Yeah. And it's summed up in those simple words of be ye holy. It's not something that we try to do. Brother Kevin, I think it was, preached a while back on it. This is not a suggestion, it's a commandment.
That's right.
He's not telling us to try.
Yep. That's right.
He cannot, if... Understand that if the Bible said what that book said that it said, where it said you're carried away, and, or not that verse, but where it said that if it had said that we if he would have said try not to sin, basically is what I'm trying to get at, is that he was allowing opportunity to sin. He cannot give you permission to sin. That's why the Bible says if you sin and not when.
Sure.
And that's some of the critical parts of reading this scripture and not taking, you know, these other doctrines and stuff that people have out of context. And so I want to move on here and try to come to a close. Not that I've about run the service, but so once we admit that we have a problem, then we got to find a solution.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's a change that happens. And so a lot of times that people are willing to commit. You know, they'll make these New Year's resolutions. They're going to get in shape. They'll go to the gym, last about a month. And then once the pain starts kicking in, once their muscles start hurting and they're real tired and everything, well, it's time to start taking the day off. And I'll tell you, you want to see people get in trouble in the Bible, watch when they stop.
Right.
When David decided, hey, the war's going pretty good, I think I'm going to sit at the house. Yeah. We all know what came out of that.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Every single time people stopped. Right. And then, you know why now David said, yay, though I walk. He didn't say, yay, though I sit. Yay, though I'm standing. He's a walking. This is a continual thing.
That's
and I'm not
right.
talking about, like Brother Kevin said, this is not a step-by-step process. You are instantly saved. But your Christian walk is that. It's a walk. It's an everyday thing. The Bible says, the Bible says for you to flee sin, to flee from it. If you're fleeing from sin, that means it's chasing you. That means if you stop, it's catching up with you. And I believe that that's what the Bible teaches, is that we got to do that. It's a continual thing. It isn't coming to church tonight and making a testimony and then sitting on your couch for 40 years. And when Brother Josh comes by and saying, yeah, I was saved about 40 years ago. It ain't, you know, I've never had an option to go back to church since then. Usually we hear men and the Lord just do our own thing. That's usually the response we get about 90% of the time. And so I hate to tell you, that's not Bible. You've heard it 100 times here, and it's true. You read in here, that's not Bible. You'll never find that in here at all. And so people will go, but once it starts getting real, it's easy to go to the gym tonight. What about tomorrow? What about when you're tired?
Right.
What about when you wake up? And I'll tell you from personal experience here recently, I was going through a very low spot in my life. And I tell you, I had this hard thing, and the devil was beating me up because I just said it out. I love worship. Me and Miss Irene talk about this all the time. I love worship service. It doesn't bother me to worship God. I love Him. You know, that's what I want to do.
Sure.
I come here, I'm waiting all week to come in here, and this stuff builds up, and I'm ready to worship God. If y'all don't want to, y'all just sit there and do whatever you want. I come here to worship. But he was beating me up over this because I didn't feel like it. I didn't feel like it. And I thought, if I stand up, if I say anything, it's going to be out of his will. But I'm going to be honest with you, if you look through Psalms, you'll find most of the time that David probably did not feel.
That's right.
Probably did not feel like he was in the best place to be worshiping. And so here lately, there was a fellow brother who was talking about how he was struggling. And that was the one advice that I could give him. It's just, you'll never find that there is not a good time to worship the Lord.
Hey.
There is not. I've never seen it in this Bible. Anywhere where it said, now's not the time, stop.
That's right.
Never seen it. If you notice all the people that the Lord healed, it says that it'll almost always start. They came up and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt. It says it on and on and on.
That's right.
They came up and they worshiped. You know, people come here, and that's great. We come here with our request. My dad's got cancer. I do it myself. The Lord already knows this.
Sure.
You ever think about that? Why does he want us to pray? He already knows this. Ain't that kind of odd? You know, and we all do, and I'm not bashing on that. That's great. But the reason that we gather here in this church is to worship.
That's right.
This is a house of worship.
Yep.
This is why we're here. When you go to the gym, a lot of times when I used to go to the gym, I'm trying to bring this back full circle. I'm not doing a good job. But when you go into the gym, what do I see people doing? See, I don't know if I have a phone on me. They're wanting everybody to see them at the gym. They ain't even touched the weights yet. They're over here taking pictures and they ain't even done no weights. They're wearing the clothes. They're in the right place, but they ain't doing the right thing. I pray that y'all know where I'm getting at here. Folks, if you've been born again, I don't know how much more clear it can be, but if you've been born again, you've been brought out of the rags of your sin. You have been changed on the inside, the most incredible change that's ever happened. And it can't garnish any kind of response in you. And I know we don't go by emotion. I get the warm, fuzzy feelings every time I go over a hill real fast. That's not got anything to do with it. But if it never garners any kind of response, if you never feel the unction to go out and do something for the Lord. I was telling Brother Doug, he was talking about the jail ministry. I'll just kind of bring this in full. He was talking about how he would go. I told him, I said, I want people to go, but I want them to go because the Lord gives them an unction.
Right.
You know, I want you guys to have a burden for the people that are in the jail.
Sure.
You know, and I can give you scripture. I believe it's in Matthew 24 where the Lord talks about, I was in jail and thou visitest me. And I said, when was you in jail? You know, that you never know. We never know what the Lord
You're
is
right.
doing. And so I hope this hasn't came across as a beat down or anything like that. It's not intended to be that way. It's intended that, you know, that our point in coming in here is to learn and to worship and to draw closer to Christ. And I pray that that's what we want to do and not be those people that go into the gym to take selfies and put on Facebook. You know, I see that stuff all the time. People will post scripture and stuff all the time and never see them in church.
That's right.
You know, and what's even worse, what kills me about it, and there's nothing wrong with sharing scripture. I do it myself. But they just share a meme. It ain't even something that they looked up. They just share something. They subscribe to this thing, and it sends them a thing every day. And they just share that. And folks, that's not worship.
Right.
David said when he went to get that threshing floor, he said that he would buy it because he did not want to make any
That's
offering
right.
to the Lord that
yeah.
didn't cost him something.
Yeah.
Folks, this is where it's hard to preach on because I'm afraid that people are going to think I'm talking about work salvation, but it's supposed to cost you. Folks, you say, well, I would want to come to church this weekend, but there's a ball game. Of course there is a ball game. You're supposed to have to choose.
Right.
You're supposed to. Did you ever think about that? That is deliberately put there. You can have a ball game on any day of the week, but it's on Sunday. What are the chances? Folks, you can record a ball game. But I'll tell you what, you'll get more out of a recorded ball game than you will out of this service. And I'm not talking about because of me. I love it. I get the CDs. I listen to it on the radio. That stuff's great. Much better than what's there. And I'm just trying to be honest with you, folks. This is really where it's at. Is sometimes we're so blinded, the world has us so blinded that we don't see it. We'll say, well, I have to work all the time. Will you ever think about you have too much stuff? If you had so much, didn't have so much stuff, you wouldn't have to work all the time and you'd be able to go to church. Nobody ever said you needed a $70,000 truck to go to Walmart. I happen to know a gentleman right over here that'll sell you one a little bit cheaper anyway. Folks, and I'm not trying to be funny, I'm being serious. Folks, the Bible directly talks against this very thing, against worldliness, and yet we get caught up in it. We want big houses. And then we'll slap, what irks me more than anything is they'll do that and then they'll slap a hashtag blessed sticker on the front of it. So what are you telling me? Because I drive my little Mazda 3 out there, I'm not blessed?
Right.
Folks, your car is going to burn.
Yes.
Your house
is going to
burn. Your clothes are going to burn.
Yep.
Your makeup is going to burn.
Yep.
All of this stuff is vanity.
Yep.
Brother Kevin was talking about it this morning. It's vanity, every single bit of it. People say all the time, I don't know what my purpose here is, what God has me here for. One thing I can guarantee 100%, and that's to worship God.
Hey.
Bible tells you that in very plain text. It says that God is a spirit and he seeks those that would worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what he seeks. People say, well, how do I please God? Read his word and see what he says, for one. He's telling you right out what he wants you to do. He will eventually show you. If you would have told me 4 years ago, I'd be standing up in front of Amazing Grace Baptist Church and preaching, there ain't no way, folks. There ain't no way. But this is what the Lord called me to do. And I want to do it to the best of my ability. And I want to bring out truth. And I pray that the Lord can use me in a way that I can help the people here grow closer to Christ. That is my true desire, is that, I believe it was Brother Josh said this morning, that yes, we'll be as close as we want to be, and we can worship when we get there, but we ain't got to wait until we get there to do that. Folks, and why would you want to? Why would you want to? I look at this world, why would I want to be a part of it? And I'm not talking bad about any general person, but I look out there and it's nonsense, folks, and I look in here and it's just beauty. There's nothing that draws me. There is. I have my own temptations. But in the whole, there is nothing out there. And if this world has more of a draw to you than this book, you probably have a problem. I feel that the Lord's having me to stop right there, brother. I don't know if you want to give an invitation, but I'll turn it back over to Brother Matt. Brother Jonah?
Hey,
oh.
Stand. Come to the piano. I'll say this, and I think probably most everybody in here knows this. If you're going to exercise, there'll have to be some discipline in it. I'll promise you that. And you might go a week or two and not even see any results. You believe that? You might even go 6 or 7 months before you start seeing something happen. But I'll promise you this, same thing will happen if you'll get in that book. You get in that book right there and spend time, I'll guarantee you that book will change your life. Amen. I don't know your heart. If she plays something, I appreciate the message tonight. I'm going to say this. Friend, we ought to do more exercising unto godliness. There ought to be some manifest evidence in your life that you're exercising. You know, I thought, listen, look here. Now, I mean, me and Zach, so we talk about working out and all that sort of thing. There's some evidence. You look at some folks and be like, that person probably works out. I think you come to the house of God, you might ought to be able to look at a Christian's knees and figure out. That person there is interested in godliness. Don't y'all think that'd be right? Be hard to be exercising unto godliness, not spend any time talking to God about it. Amen. I don't know your heart tonight. Donnie, whoever's going to sing, Josh, whoever's going to come. If you got something on your heart, you need to do business with God about tonight. God put his finger on something. Well, you ought to talk to the Lord about it.